Step into the captivating narrative of realism, a modern saga born amidst the tumultuous waves of the latter 20th century. It all began with a man named Claude Villorien, who embraced the moniker Rayo, embarking on a journey that would challenge the very fabric of conventional belief. In Rayo's tale, science intertwines with spirituality, and the cosmos itself becomes a stage for divine encounters. At the heart of this cosmic drama lies the Elohim, an advanced extraterrestrial civilization revered as our creators. Rael himself claims to have communed with these celestial beings, receiving revelations that would reshape the course of his life and the destiny of his followers. Join us on this epic odyssey into the depths of realism, where every revelation is a chapter in the ongoing saga of humanity's search for meaning and purpose in the vast expanse of the cosmos. Open your mind to the wonders that await as we unravel the mysteries of existence and embark on a journey beyond the stars. Welcome everyone to the new episode of What the Religion. So I'm just gonna kind of get into it. This week was not great. I actually had a death in the family, and it was kind of one of the first that we've had in our family, and so I was. Well, I was actually at the funeral yesterday, and everyone was, talking about his life and kind of who he was, and obviously I only knew him as my uncle, but everyone else, there's so many different aspects to someone, and everyone was sharing their stories, and he was a pretty cool person, and so I just wanted to take the time to kind of recognize that and sort of devote this episode to him. I think he probably would have thought this specific religion would have been very interesting, to say the least. So I just wanted to say that at the beginning, kind of where my head's at, and let's jump into it. So, this religion is called, as you probably heard from the intro, it's called realism. Now, I don't think I'm saying that right at all, but this religion was actually started in the 1970s by Claude Villorien, which he later took on the name Rael. Hence the name of the religion, but he founded it in France, actually, where he's from, which is where most of their members are currently, but also they have a lot of members in America and also in parts of Africa, which is interesting. And they claim to have around 100,000 members right now, though I don't know if they have, an official number on that. But like I said, the founder of realism is Rael, and he's called sort of the guide of guides. He's the leader of the movement, and he holds the highest position in the organization. He actually, before he created this religion, he was a French race car driver and also a journalist. He had a magazine called Autopop in France, but then in 1973 he sort of dedicated his life to spreading this message because of some extraterrestrial encounters that we will talk about. And kind of the people below him, there's what are called guides of guides, which are the bishops. So they're sort of the senior members who've demonstrated kind of a deeper commitment to the movement and are who also are responsible for overseeing different activities in regions or even other countries. And then they have the guides, which are priests. They're responsible for spiritual guidance of the members, and they play a vital role in spreading the teachings of realism. And then you have the assistant guides. So they're the members who take on roles of responsibility, but they're not really ordained yet as full guides. So they kind of all have similar names, right? Rael is called the guide of guides, bishops are guides of guides, priests are guides, and then there's assistant guides. So, they're very similar. But I was watching a documentary on this, which I'll actually play a few clips from. And it's very interesting to see Rael walking around. He kind of sort of has this entourage of people that are always around him, which I'm assuming are the guides of guides. And so there doesn't seem to be a real structured way of moving up in the religion other than, making the connections. It does say that there is kind of a ceremony to become, higher up. It's seen as a commitment to living according to the principles of the movement and to actively working towards the realization of its goals, including the establishment of an embassy for welcoming the Elohim, which that might not mean anything to you right now, but I promise that it will mean a lot by the end of this. And they also don't really have a central worship place, and from what I can tell, people kind of follow Rael around wherever he might be. In the documentary that I was watching, they kind of just set up in this random building. But they also have a lot of what seem like parties. They're called happiness academies. They're sort of a significant gathering place for Relians, where members attend seminars and, workshops focused on meditation, self-awareness, and the teachings of Rael. Though when I was watching the documentary, they kind of seemed like wild, I don't know, wild parties. There was naked girls dancing around, and people just seemed to be having a lot of fun. I don't know how much meditation they were doing there, but maybe that was just one part of it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've never been, so it could have just been one part of it that they were trying to, portray something. So, what does realism follow? I mean, like, how do they understand these teachings? How do they know these teachings? So besides, attending a seminar or listening to Rael himself, he has actually put out some books. A few of the books that he's put out, the first one is called The Book Which Tells the Truth. So this text outlines Rael's initial encounter with the Elohim, so and kind of the message he received, and then some of his other books are Extraterrestrials Took Me to Their Planet. So this is a book where he kind of details the actual, I believe it was the second interaction that he had with the Elohim when they took him to his planet, to their planet. And then there's one called Let's Welcome Our Fathers from Space, which focuses on the preparations that humanity must make to welcome the Elohim back to Earth, including the construction of an embassy. So that kind of gives a little hint into what realism, Raelians, sort of believe. Now, I sort of want to jump to what is an Elohim. We've sort of touched on it, and it might be a little confusing right now. But the Elohim are the creators that the Raelians follow. So how this all started, how the religion started, is real. He had an encounter from the Elohim. He went into the forest and he saw aliens. He describes it as a spaceship coming down to him, and the extraterrestrials coming out of the spaceship and sort of telling him this religion, telling him that they are actually the creators of life. So that's kind of the cornerstone of the Raelian cosmology, how we came about. And the Elohim are supposedly to have developed this sophisticated genetic engineering that kind of put us here. So they believe that all the other religions, when they talk about God or goddesses, they're actually misinterpreting these advanced beings. And Rael had a second encounter where they took him to their planet. This is where they shared that he needed to be the sort of messenger to the world. This is where the formation of the Raelian scripture came about. Kind of a wide range of topics from human origins to the purpose of ethics, sexuality, and kind of the future of humanity. And the writings advocated, well, have said to have added advocated for kind of a global shift in consciousness toward peace and love, understanding, and it kind of was underpinned by a strong endorsement of scientific inquiry and advancement, because sort of the whole goal of realism, they don't necessarily believe in an afterlife. They want to live forever. That's their whole goal, and we'll get into that. But kind of in this second encounter, when the Elohim were teaching him these things, they showed him how to clone himself, which is where, I mean, that's kind of the central idea of this religion, is being able to clone yourself, which is, where that science comes into play, because they're not necessarily saying that cloning is by a divine God. They're saying, no, we need science and to be able to do this. And also, when he was on that planet, he spent the night with five women. So, that's great. Apparently, that's a huge thing. Sexuality is a huge thing in this religion. He was told that his father was an Elohim that had a baby with his mom, which was a human, and that created Jesus. So he's saying that Jesus is his brother. And so that's, that's a big claim, I think. But another thing that the Elohim pointed out, sort of while he was on this trip, that humans need to construct an embassy. This embassy is to a place, it's to welcome back the Elohim when they come back to Earth. This project isn't just architectural, but it's also symbolic. It's representing humanity's readiness to join sort of a peaceful interstellar community. So the proposed embassy would serve as a neutral place for the Elohim to land and be received by Earth's representatives. Its creation is tied to specific criteria about its location, the legal status, and kind of the broader acceptance of the Raelian principles by the world. It's supposed to reflect sort of the world's acceptance of global peace. And so I'm gonna play a clip here from the documentary that I watched.
Physical beauty is an important criterion because we, the Elohim, though we have an infinite love for all human beings, whatever their appearance, we prefer to be surrounded by individuals of great beauty, corresponding to the absolutely perfect original models of the different races that we had once created on Earth.
So that clip Mike's gig give you a better idea of what realism is about. So as I was saying, that the Elohim kind of created humans. So the whole idea is being able to live forever and getting back to that original I don't know, beauty or perfectness of what the Elohim had created. And actually the Aurelians claimed that they were able to clone a human. They said that they had cloned a baby, but that baby never came about. So, but that's kind of a broad overview of what the origins of this religion is and kind of where they're wanting to go. Their ultimate goal is to be cloned and to sort of live forever. So I kind of wanted to get into the other part of this religion, which is sexuality. So a lot of religions really don't like sexuality, or they don't promote sexuality. And I think this is an interesting part of this religion because, you can look at it on one side is saying, this is not great, and if it's taken too far, then it's not good, because you see in the documentary and you see them talking about it, and there's all these women running around naked, basically with their tops off, and one of the people on the documentary was saying, well, if they want to do that, then why can't they? Like, why can't they run around being sexual? And I mean, I don't really have anything to say about that other than, do they want to? Like, that is the question, right? I think that's the question that everyone has, is do they actually want to do that? Or are they being told they have to do that? That's kind of where the controversy comes in to this religion. But regardless of that, they're doing it. I don't know. I mean, they look very happy. So, kind of they believe that sensuality and sexuality are sort of the natural and healthy expressions of love and life. The movement encourages the exploration and acceptance of one's sexual identity and preferences. So, advocating for a society where sexual freedom is respected and valued. So this perspective is rooted in the belief that through joyful and consensual sexual experiences, individual can achieve a higher level of consciousness and connection with the divine. And I actually thought it was really interesting, in Africa, and I think they do this in other regions where this religion is prominent, but they have a different way of doing it. But they in Africa, they have ribbons on their wrists. They have like little bracelets where they can determine their sexuality, and so others can see their sexuality without having to ask. So purple means you're straight, pink means you're gay or bi, or open to either. Red means that you have multiple partners, green means you only have one partner, and white means you don't want a partner, which I think is really interesting and kind of goes with they actually are consenting to this, because if you have a white bracelet on, it means that you don't want anything, which I think is really nice. And I have another clip to play you guys. So they had an organization where in Africa they were reversing female circumcision. So in Africa, and I'm sure other parts of the world, there was a time where they would cut off this sexual pleasurable organs of the vagina, and so they this and so the Raelians were trying to reverse that. So this is this is great. I just want you to hear this part of the documentary, and honestly, go and watch this documentary. It's definitely something. Before I play this clip, I kind of wanted to describe to you what is going on. So there's two seemingly gay men in bed right now.
For free, we will operate, make the surgery for repairing the clitoris and to make this affordable for the free anyway.
That's fantastic. Hey, shall we give money to the clit bots for my orgasm?
So good idea.
I think so. Everybody deserves that pleasure.
The clit box, that was the fundraising, you know. When you had an orgasm, you would put the money inside the clit box.
So, as you heard from that, there was a giant movement in the religion, where every time you'd have an orgasm, you'd put money away so you could donate it to this organization that were repairing the clit in Africa, which I think is great. So, but actually that organization got shut down. After only 25 people were operated on, their government in Africa kind of came in and said that it wasn't okay. Which I don't necessarily agree with. I think if you're following one practice and then you want to reverse that or change or in some way, I don't know much about female circumcision. I have heard about it, but I can't really speak to it. But if you're a person and you want to reverse that, then I think that you should be able to reverse that. And so it was, shut down. But so sensual meditation is a practice promoted by Ariel, emphasizing the development of one's capacity to experience pleasure through all senses. This form of meditation aims to enhance the individual's awareness and appreciation of sensual and sexual experiences, such as pathways to happiness, enlightenment. Unlike traditional forms of meditation, they may seek to transcend physicality. Sensual meditation embraces the body and its capacity for pleasure, which I think is pretty cool. It kind of helps guilt. Realism strongly opposes the idea of sexual repression and guilt that are prevalent in many societies and religion. It argues that such attitudes towards sexuality are harmful and unnatural, limiting human potential for happiness and understanding by advocating for a guilt-free approach to sexuality. Realians promote a more open and accepting attitude towards various sexual orientations and practices. So while they're promoting sexual freedom, they also emphasize the importance of education, consent, responsibility in sexual relationships, and advocating for comprehensive sexual education, including the importance of mutual respect and prevention of sexually transmitted diseases, which is very different from what you would hear in other religions. And I think that kind of leads to controversy and misunderstandings. Kind of critics often focus on the movement's open attitudes towards sexuality, alleging promiscuity and moral laxity. However, Reallians argue that their approach is based on love, respect, and sort of the responsibility to exercise freedom. So obviously this would probably spark a large conversation. I think it's difficult for people to move from what they grew up in, and largely in our history we have sort of repressed those sexual feelings, and you know, bringing this into this religion can kind of freak some people out, I think. But I, you know, I'm just here to talk about it, and kind of give a different view than what you might have had in the past. So, kind of going back, rewinding a little bit, to Rael and the Elohim. So many religions, well, most that I can think of, you can directly communicate with the divine by prayer, right? But it doesn't seem like in this religion there is really a way to do that. It seems like Rael is, you know, the speaker of God, or he's the one you need to go to if you need guidance or if you need to communicate with God, which can create some problems, I feel like. If I were to join a religion, I would really want the belief that I could speak directly and have a relationship with God, and not really following a specific person, because I would want to be able to sort of develop that relationship myself. But it works for them, I suppose. And along with, you know, this idea of having extraterrestrials as the head, they don't really have a negative or evil view. So the Elohim kind of, well, what they believe is that the Elohim let humans be free, I guess, have the ability to choose, I guess you could say have free will, and that the suffering kind of is the result of humanity's actions. So the Elohim kind of take no responsibility for the evilness within that humans can create, and I think actually that's pretty interesting, and kind of not really a unique theme. I think many religions, when it comes to evil doings by humans, they kind of step back and say, well, you know, humans have free will. I don't know. Which I don't know if I necessarily agree with, because gods, goddesses, the Elohim, whatever you may believe, it usually in religions you believe that these central figures created humans, right? And I think you probably have to take responsibility for the things that you create, in a way. I don't know. I think that religions could, you know, take more responsibility than they do. Well, maybe not the religion itself, but gods, right? And obviously I can't talk to a god. Well, I mean, from what I believe, other people believe that I could, but I don't know. I feel like if you're this higher being and you're creating this new species or creating this world to put humans on it, you might have to take a little bit of responsibility for what you put in to the human. What you make the human, right? But that's, you know, that's me. I don't think that's the majority of what people think. And many religions have this idea of free will, and you know, that's all great and things, but anyway, that might not have made any sense. But so the Elohim kind of, there's no traditional theological explanations for suffering in realism, as the Elohim are not really seen as omnipotent deities, but as advanced beings who respect human free will, kind of as I was saying. The focus of the religion is more on how humanity can use the knowledge and technology available to solve the problems to reduce suffering. So the Elohim are said to have, you know, brought this technology, obviously to create us and to create our intelligence. And so that is supposed to help in reducing, you know, evilness, I suppose. So with this concept of having these extraterrestrials who made us, actually from, it said that they've made us from a piece of their own DNA. So we're, a piece of them. They created us. And because of this, the Reelians don't hold a traditional belief in an afterlife, such as a heaven or a hell, or really a soul existing independently of the body. Instead, the focus is on a scientific advancement that could enable physical immortality through cloning and the transfer of consciousness. So they also don't have a concept for salvation or redemption in like the religious sense. The closest concept might be achieving a form of immortality through scientific means, good deeds, knowledge, and living in harmony with Reelian principles are emphasized for personal fulfillment and the advancement of humanity rather than a condition for salvation. So there's no judgment after death, there's no punishment, because they don't want to die. Their whole idea is they will live forever. So this cloning that Reel sort of gained knowledge of through his trip to the other world is supposed to become widely used for everyone, that so they'll live forever. So they're sort of, how they describe it in the documentary is, you clone yourself, and that body is kind of dead. It's stale. It's not moving. It's not thinking or anything. And then you can transfer your mind, your personality, into that body, and then continue living from there. So they want to live forever. They don't want to die. They don't want an afterlife. They don't believe in an afterlife. The whole idea is to clone and live forever. So what does this mean? How do you live a Reelian life? What do you do? What are the, you know, daily routine activities? So they kind of, you know, do what everyone does. A lot of meditation, including sensual meditation, which is considered a way to enhance your life and connect with the infinite graciousness of the universe. Expressing a lot of gratitude. Reelians kind of emphasize that, and you know, nonviolence, personal development, and also spreading the message. Now, this may be for, you know, Reelians who aren't in the presence of Reel. So, in the documentary, Reel was wearing this, you know, white suit with puffy shoulders, and he was kind of walking around, and everyone was following him, and it seemed like their lives were just revolved around him and what he wanted to do for the day. And so, you know, I think their lives are more intertwined with living this completely every day, every moment. But, you know, for the general person, it might just mean sitting in one of his seminars once a week and doing daily meditation. But some other, you know, ceremonies or festivals that you may have, on December 13th, they celebrate the first encounter. So Reel's first encounter with the Elohim in 1973. And then on October 7th, they celebrate the Second Encounter Day, which obviously commemorates Rael's second encounter and the detail where he received the detailed explanations of the Elohim's messages. And then August 6th is actually the Raelian's New Year. It marks anniversary of the Hiroshima bombing, which is significant in Raelianism as it represents a turning point in human history and the beginning of the Age of Apocalypse of Revelation. This day is observed with reflection on peace and the future. So, those are the major ceremonies. But yeah, so I mean that was a huge rundown of, you know, Raelianism. And I don't know what I think about it. The symbol of the religion is a mix between the swastika and the Star of David. So the swastika is supposed to represent infinity in space, and the Star of David is supposed to represent infinity in time. Now, this is obviously bad, right? Like, nobody should be wearing the swastika. And Rael said that this symbol appeared to him on the spaceships and when he went to the new planet and all these things, but he has, you know, no real, you know, proof that this was, you know, their symbol. I don't know about that. So I can't say that he didn't go to this other world, but you know, there's some things in the religion that I don't understand, and there's some things that, you know, I think are cool. Like if you, want to gain sexual liberation, I think it's great to break out sort of the traditional senses of, you know, how our world has kind of been up until now. But there's also things that, you know, kind of seem a little different. I really recommend watching this documentary. In the documentary, when he's, you know, playing his guitar or walking around, you see everyone looking at him, and the way that they're looking at him with this like huge smile on, and their eyes are wide, and you know, it reminds me of, I don't know, it's a little weird, right, the way that they look at him. And the documentary producer says the same thing. He kind of is like, they're too happy, they're too excited to be there. And so I don't know. You know, I'm not an expert on this religion, but if you are a Raelian, come on to the podcast. I will link the Google form to that. If you're not a Raelian, come on to the podcast. Tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you believe. Tell me what you think about extraterrestrials. Tell me everything. I want to hear from you. And I want to make this sort of a joint journey. Now, that was a lot. That was much different from, you know, a traditional religion. So I'm going to send you off with the songs of Rael himself.
With infinity. We are one with lotus. We are one with his gems. And with Tadao. And with Kumiko.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of What the Religion. Follow me on TikTok at What the Religion. Join my Patreon. If you want a chance to share your beliefs, drop your name in the Google Forms. And as always, I'll hear you later.